Thank you. Most of us like to talk. Some of us talk too much. But for most people, speech becomes a very important component of life. Most of the time when we as human beings communicate, we do it verbally. The crucial role that spoken and written words play in interpersonal relations should never be underestimated. Several passages from the Bible teach that words should be carefully weighed before spoken. Thus, the psalmist once prayed, "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Jesus warned that by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. In Bible times, people perceived words to be agents capable of creating realities, both positive and negative, that can lead either to life or death. Christians are traditionally known to be the people of the book. The book, the Bible, can also be described as a library, sacred library, because it contains 66 of books in one. These books, full of words, communicate the basic message of Scripture through words. After all, Romans 10:17 states that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Seventh-day Adventist Christians, in particular, from the beginning of their existence, have understood the importance of taking God's special message to the world and tell it to the world, as we watched the documentary video last Sabbath. The wise biblical preacher, Ecclesiastes, advises us to consider that there is time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to speak and a time to be silent. However important verbal communication is, God's message can be communicated in some non-verbal ways that have often been neglected in our Christian life and witness. We can call it silent preaching. Apparently, obviously, I'm not using it right now. Many of us are willing to witness for God and helping other people, but concerned with our inability to know what to say and how to say, the use and overuse of words so often overshadows nonverbal ways of communicating God's love. Yet, we can communicate and talk about the good news silently and still be God's effective witnesses. The well-known expression that is attributed to Saint Francis of Assisi says, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." Let's look at three persons from the Bible who witnessed for God even though their words were not recorded in the biblical accounts of their lives. These people were powerful preachers, although their sermons were silent. Their stories illustrate the fact that in order to be an effective witness for God, one does not necessarily have to use words. Truly, their actions spoke louder than words. Early on, the Bible talks about Abel, the shepherd. This man is not introduced as someone trained in homiletics or speech delivery. In Genesis 4, 2 through 4, simply states that at a certain designated time for worship, Adam and Eve's firstborn son, Abel, presented himself before God and brought an offering to him. In contrast to his brother Cain, who merely brought some of the fruits of the soil from his field, Abel presented to the Lord the offering that consisted of fat portions from the firstborn of his flock. In the culture of Bible times, where people offered sacrifices, this was considered to be the best type of gift to God. Although the mention of a sacrificial animal presented by Abel is important in this context, at this time, another detail in the story is worth of our attention. Moses, the writer of the book of Genesis, carefully points out that the Lord looked at Abel first and then at his sacrifice. The state of Abel's heart mattered to God more than the gift that he brought. In this regard, 1 Samuel 16:7 concurs that God does not judge us by our appearances or by offerings we bring, but he first of all looks into our hearts. It doesn't mean that we should not be generous in our support of church ministry through tithes and offerings and other special projects of the church. But what did God see in Abel's heart? He most likely saw an attitude of gratitude and his readiness to obey and serve his Creator and the Lord. If we were to express in words the message that Abel delivered at all that worship service, what would it be? One way would be to say that when God looks at us human beings, he sees what's in our hearts. Abel did not try to hide his heart behind the offering that he brought because he knew that God can see his heart and nothing can be hidden from God's eyes. Abel's story teaches that God looks at the worshiper before he considers the gifts that are brought to him. In other words, worshipers matter to God far more than the presents that they bring. Abel's witness contains a powerful testimony that shows what God is like, yet according to the biblical records, his witness was delivered in silent, noiseless, speechless manner. Some ancient interpreters of the scripture were not comfortable with the fact that this powerful preacher should remain silent, so they tried to use the imagination to make Abel speak, or in other words, to put the words in his mouth. Aramaic paraphrases of the Hebrew Bible called targums add lengthy comments to biblical passages, especially those that are short or vague, in the effort to expand them and explain and make them clear. Thus, the Targum Neofiti 3 on Genesis 4 presents an extended verbal conversation or exchange between Cain and Abel dealing with the topic of God's judgment. In this imaginary conversation, Cain accuses God of favoritism while denying any prospect of an end-time judgment. Needless to say that Abel strongly disagrees with Cain. These Targumic additions, although interesting, don't make any significant contribution to the account, because our Bible text goes that Abel's testimony was speechless, without any words. Yet, Paul, the author of Hebrews, in Hebrews 11:4, claims, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he's dead. Abel's silent preaching made the lasting impact throughout the centuries. The opening chapters of the New Testament tell the story of how Jesus was born. And his mother Mary played a key role in the events that resulted in the birth of the Savior of the world. For that reason, many even today adore her. But as a father, I feel envious that Joseph is not being credited enough. We often neglect the role of Joseph, who was Jesus' other earthly parent. I wonder if this neglect may be due to the fact that his words are nowhere recorded in the gospel. Although not a single word of Joseph can be found in the pages of the Bible, that does not mean that he did not effectively witness for God. Much like Abel the shepherd, Joseph the carpenter had no training in homiletics, yet he delivered a powerful, silent sermon. Chapter 1 and 2 of Matthew inform us that on three occasions, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and gave him clear instructions of how to ensure that Jesus' birth and childhood would be safe and sound. In all three occasions, the inspired writer claims that Joseph did not question divine instructions, but rather fully obeyed them. If the message that Joseph silently delivered through his actions was to be expressed in words, it would be something like this. We should trust God even though we do not fully understand his plans for us. Although we may not see the final outcome of our acts of faith, God's word assures us that the Lord's plans for us are intended to give us hope and future. For that reason, we are called to trust God under all circumstances. And again, some readers and interpreters of the scripture in the past were not comfortable and satisfied with Joseph's silent way of witnessing for God. For example, Thomas, the Israelite philosopher, in the apocryphal document, offers an imaginary account concerning the childhood of Jesus. And he describes an event that supposedly took place when Jesus was 5 years old. In that story, Jesus played with the soft clay, which he molded into 12 sparrows. And it just happened that event took place on Sabbath. And a certain Jew reported to his father Joseph, and in his turn, Joseph rebuked Jesus for breaking the fourth commandment. Well, none of the four canonical gospels mention any of this story or anything like that. But in our Bible, Joseph remains silent, yet obedient to God's instructions. Presented as speechless, yet ready to submit to God, God's will, and his witness remained voiceless, yet its message is still effective. In Luke 2:51, it states that he, Jesus, went down to Nazareth with them, his parents, and was obedient to them. Most likely, Jesus' attitude of obedience came in response to Joseph's example of trust in his heavenly Father. In this case, the saying, like Father, like Son, is very appropriate and proves to be true and serves as a positive example to all of us to follow by obeying Jesus, who said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." The art of delivering silent sermons, according to the Bible, can be mastered by any gender, not only males. Acts 9 introduces one such preacher known as Dorcas or Tabitha. Her occupation was tailoring, yet that did not prevent her from witnessing for her God. On the contrary, she used that type of work to the glory of her Savior and for the blessing of others. In Acts 9:36-41, we read that Dorcas made clothes for many needy people. Her heart went out especially to the poor, and her hands provided for their needs. Our Adventist writer, Ellen White, praises the dedicated work of Dorcas, saying, "She was a worthy disciple of Jesus, and her life was filled with acts of kindness. She knew who needed comfortable clothing and needed sympathy, and she freely ministered to the poor and the sorrowful. Her skillful fingers were more active than her tongue. Dorcas may have never had a privilege to speak or preach from the pulpit, but her way of witnessing was louder than the sound of words. If we would attempt to express through words again the message of the sermons that she delivered silently, we could say that helping the needy communicates God's love in a very special way. These acts of kindness testify that a gracious God abides in heaven, and we, as His servants, have a great privilege to be God's hands and God's feet, and that is equally as helpful as being His mouth. Proverbs 19:17 says, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward him for what he has done." The book of Acts does not remain wordless as to the effects that Dorcas' silent preaching had on other believers at her time. Chapter 11 says that when a severe famine later threatened the lives of God's children in Judea, the disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea, states Acts 11:29. Dorcas' spirit of generosity was contagious, and it spread among the believers then, but also even today. Her story moves hearts. The silent preaching experience is not only a phenomenon of the ancient times. A modern example of powerful silent preaching can be the life story of Desmond Doss. The writer of his story states, "Bullets and shrapnel flew, mortars exploded, and the air was thick with fire and smoke. Hordes of enemy infantry were charging. While other soldiers streamed away from danger, one soldier ran in the opposite direction towards the enemy, answering the cry of the wounded soldiers who had been left behind on the battlefield. Hours later, he had lost count of how many he had rescued. Though exhausted, he refused to quit. He had been known to say, 'As long as there is life, there is hope.' During the World War II, one lone soldier, Corporal Desmond Doss, the only medic left in Infantry 77th Division, had decided to rescue as many as he could before he either collapsed or died trying. His determination and courage resulted in saving the lives of at least 75 American soldiers that on one troubled May Day in 1945. And for his continued bravery and outstanding courage, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor by President Harry Truman on October 12, 1945. Shaking his hand, President Truman said, "I am proud of you. You really deserved this. I consider this a greater honor than being a president." His character development did not happen all of a sudden. As a boy, Desmond Doss grew up with a keen conscience fixed on always doing what is right. His strong religious upbringing formed the foundation of sincere faith and dependence on God. If it was in the Bible, he took it personally. If God said it, he believed it. If it was something God requested, he simply obeyed without question. He treated God's Ten Commandments with full respect and honor. Desmond grew up on Bible stories. He faithfully attended church every week. His respect for the Bible led him to a life of unwavering commitment to God and absolute duty to his fellow men and his country. God was first in his life. Others came second, and his own personal needs were considered last. As a young man, he understood and he exercised the principles of selfless love as illustrated in the example of the life of Jesus Christ. He felt the call to serve his country, believing his service would advance the cause of freedom. While life in the army was not simple and easy, and when the requirements of his God clashed with those of his commanding officers, Desmond did not waver from his commitment to the commandments that he had learned as a boy. Desmond Doss proved his worth to his fellow soldiers again and again. He developed a reputation for being stubbornly committed to leaving no one behind on the battlefield, repeatedly risking his own life in order to return a man to safety. His prayers were, "Lord, help me get one more," as he ran back toward his comrades. He treated others with gentle care, in spite of brutal treatment that he received from them. The time came when they recognized that he carried something of greater value onto the battlefield, the protection of his God. And they dared not go into the battle without the assurance of the presence of their medic and his God with them. Guided by the biblical faith and the example of Christ, he would die if it meant another could live. What a representation of Christ's character and nature. Through his life and actions, he shared his faith in God, encouraging others in their faithful service for God and fellow men. One of the many of his silent sermons can be described by Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." What Abel the shepherd, Joseph the carpenter, and Dorcas the seamstress, and Desmond Doss the medic soldier, all had in common was that they learned in life how to witness for God without using words. Needless to say that today the world needs more of this such silent sermons. In this way, every one of us, a believer, can be also a preacher of the good news of the kingdom of God. A great number of believers witness for God in this way day after day, and many of those are even here today. And I believe that many of you are also exercising it and practicing it throughout the week. But even greater number of such witnesses is still needed. And I hope that these examples will encourage us to practice more of silent preaching, and if necessary, use words. Dear Lord, we recognize our need in your help to be your powerful, effective witnesses in this world. We recognize our purpose in this world as Christians, as followers of you, and we sometimes concerned about our inability to know what to say, how to say, but we pray that you would help us also to recognize that our testimony can be effective through silent preaching, through our lives and actions, and help us to practice that even more, so that those people around us be able to see your life living through us and your gospel, the good news, through our actions and our living. And praise your name and be attracted to join your kingdom. We thank you for the inspiration that you give us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.